Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
My next guest lived a lot of life before, quite literally, good news changed everything. She was born into a loveless and abusive family. Instead of escaping that cycle, she continued in it, into her own marriage and life. Just before Christmas 2003, she was in jail, serving a 15-month term, her life at its lowest point. Then she heard some singing and life changed forever. Sue Newham, thank you so much for joining us on Open House.
Hi, Lee. Thank you for
Welcome.
Having me.
It's great to have you with us. Give us a picture of your early life, Sue.
I was born into a family with four brothers, two older, two younger. I had a mother who was very abusive, a father who was never at home. My mother told me from the day I was born, basically, that she hated me because I wasn't a boy and that I was going to be pure evil.
What was that like for you growing up?
Horrifying. I didn't know anything else, though, really, in a way. I mean, I look at it now and I think how horrifying it was at the time, but I didn't know anything different. I never got cuddled or loved or kissed. So, you know, it was the way I lived.
What was your view of the future like, if you had one?
I didn't know. I didn't really look at a future. I know that when I got into high school, I decided I wanted to become a nurse because I wanted actually to go on to year 11 and 12 and become a lawyer, actually. But I was told I was too stupid and they wouldn't allow me to, so...
By your parents?
Yes. So I went on to become a nurse.
What was that life like?
Well, I actually moved out of home, but because of the life that I'd already lived, my life took a really bad spiral because I knew no different. There was no one to tell me what to do, where to go, so I really went crazy with this freedom that I couldn't understand.
Doing what?
Well, I went out drinking, but not excessively, I didn't attack the drugs, but it was men. I couldn't get enough of men.
You did marry?
I did. I had a son, and I married a man 6 weeks after I met him, to give my son a name, yeah. But that wasn't good.
No, that turned very sour.
Well, he was a compulsive gambler and an alcoholic. And he was abusive as well. So I had three more children to him. And then I met who I thought was a wonderful man. And he actually lived in the same neighbourhood and could see what was going on. And he said, I'll help you. I'll get you out of that relationship. Well, he did. And I moved in with him. I married him. And basically I went from the frying pan straight into the fire. He was more abusive. He was he molested my children. He burnt me with cigarettes. He has broken every bone in my body. He nearly killed me on many occasions. So,
why did you stay?
Because that's all I knew. And scared, too scared to move. My family weren't there to support me. My family knew what was going on. They never to help me. But basically, it comes down to I knew no different.
Were you trying to do things different for your kids, with your kids, than had been done for and with you?
In a way, yes. You know, I mean, I loved my children. I tried to protect my children from my ex-husband, but he would bash me, knock me to the ground, knock me out, and then still do what he wanted to do with the children anyway. So people say, oh, Sue, you had time. You could have got out. They don't understand when you're in, it's very, very hard to get out.
Yes. Did you get out?
I eventually got out because he almost killed me. They thought he broke my neck. And the police actually arrested him and charged him. But even though he was arrested and charged, I got away, but he still kept coming back because he had the power over me, which he believed was why I was with him. His mother got me with him to sign paperwork. And I did sign this paperwork and... When I wouldn't take him back, he then actually took the paperwork to the police, and that was where the fraud comes in. I was summoned to appear in court, and I went from court straight to jail.
For how long?
15 months.
What was that like?
Hell. Well, from what I... Look, it wasn't a good place.
You'd already been through so much already.
It took 2 years from when they first came to my home to me going to jail. And in that meantime, my 7-year-old son died and I met Craig, who's my husband now. Mm. So it was very, very hard because I went to jail just before Christmas. My ex-husband kidnapped my children and I didn't know where they were. I couldn't find them. And going into an environment where, you know, people have killed somebody or bash people or, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I kept to myself and the one person who actually made friends with me was a woman who was actually in jail for murdering her child. So,
on the back of you losing your child?
Yes.
So how did you survive all this?
Very difficulty, but why I was lucky because while I was in there, I actually got introduced to a program called Kairos.
Hmm.
And I went, at Christmas time, I was just in there a couple of weeks and I could hear people singing. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have a look. So I went over and had a look and I could hear and see all these people singing. And I thought, oh, I'll listen. And they were singing Christmas carols. But what I didn't know at the time was it was actually Kairos' Christmas party for the inmates. And when that was finished, I left. And after the new year, they'd started a new Kairos program up. And the young girl who was in for murder told me that she wanted me to come to Kairos with her. And I said, oh, what's Kairos? She said, oh, you'll see. And I went in through this door and this woman hugged me, kissed me. Well, that was something I was not used to in my life. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm not going back. But I listened to what they had to say and I thought, oh, yeah, it does make sense. They were talking about God. I mean, I've always known my life, there's a God. But to really believe there's a God is two different things.
Yes.
And then a fortnight later, they come back and I thought, oh, give it another go. But they hugged and kissed again. I thought, oh, I don't know. But and all of a sudden, I just started hearing what they were saying. And I rang Craig on Tuesday night and said to him, I can't talk to you today. And he'd say, why? Kairos is on. So wow. It was my fortnightly thing that I'd look forward to watching and listening to what they had to say.
Yeah. Can I take you back to that moment that you heard the singing? Describe for me that moment. What it was about it that struck you, what it did to you.
I don't know. It was just something warm and wonderful. And it was nice. It was pleasant and it was...
So different.
It was, yeah, to hear something nice and in such a place like that, to hear really nice singing going on and hearing the songs they were singing. And I'm thinking, who sings Christmas carols in a jail? you know, who sings about God in jail? No one, you know. So
where did that journey take you with Kairos?
Well, I continued to do Kairos while I was inside and I did their 4-day program, which was inside as well. And when I actually left jail, I actually took Kairos home with me, went back to church, and I now am very much involved with Kairos outside.
Yes. Had you embraced Christian faith at that stage? Yes. By the time you left the jail?
Yes. It seems funny to say, but I actually received the Holy Spirit while I was in jail.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
You know, so it was great.
Yeah. What difference did it make to your life? I mean, it seems such a ridiculous question, but...
Made me understand my life. A lot better than what I did before. I mean, there was lots of whys about my life, and then I had the answers. So,
what were the answers? Because that was a very tough life. And if you think, hard. Well, this is a good God, how'd that work?
Well, I learned how to break out of the cycle that I'd been in all my life. And to be quite honest, I'd met a wonderful man who didn't abuse me, didn't hit me or anything else. And that was very hard on me. I actually did the reverse. I actually hit him to make him hit me because that was all I ever knew. And he'd just walk away. And so that wasn't good. Mm. But he's still here. He's still with me.
He's a resilient man.
But it's just taught me a lot in my life. It's taught me that everything but I've done was for a reason as well. I mean, if I hadn't have been married and I hadn't have been in those relationships and I hadn't gone to jail, I wouldn't have gone become a Christian. I wouldn't have gone involved with Kairos. So I was like, even though all my life I've followed this path that has taken me to Christianity.
Yeah.
It's been a hard path, but...
So do you say to God, what was all that about? And do you have an answer?
No, because every day I get bombarded with things in my life and people say to me, God can only give you as much as you can handle. And sometimes I look up there and think, well, how much more do you think I can handle? Yeah. You know, but look, I still yell at God and I abuse him and I tell him off. But I know deep down that he's very much part of my life and what I believe, you know.
On Open House, we're with the very grounded and very real and transformed Sue Newham and her work, especially for Kairos. I wanted to speak about Kairos a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how that system works, how the Kairos thing works in jail.
Well, inside the jail, the ladies come into the jail and the inmates are allowed to come and sit and listen to them talk, and they talk about Jesus and they make you feel that you're not alone, that you are wanted and loved and needed, and that we are forgiven for no matter what we've done in our life. You know, God will always forgive us, right? And it's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling to know that somebody cares, and that and these women are so genuine when they come inside the jails for the females, and it's men going to the men's jails, right? And they are genuine. You really, really can feel it, that they're so caring and understanding. But you know what the most important thing is? They never ask you what you're in jail for.
I know that's a very deliberate policy of Kairos.
It's brilliant. Yeah. You know, I mean, they don't care what you're in for or what you've done wrong. They're there to make you understand that you're forgiven.
Is there ever much suspicion about what this group is up to in the initial stages when an inmate goes in?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially when they're hugging kids. It's scary. I mean, yeah. It is. It is. You don't know what to expect from them. And you sit there, and especially if you've never had love or understanding in your life, you think, what do they want from
me? What's going on? Yeah.
Why are they being so nice to me? When are they going to abuse me, you know?
So what dissolves that? How does that melt away?
The reassurance. They have such fantastic reassurance. And then as you open yourself up, you're accepting God more into your life and you can feel it. You can feel the difference. You can feel it happening inside you. Mm. You know, there's no words to describe really what makes you feel the way you do. I know, I feel that sometimes I glow when I talk about Kairos, you know, and my friends go, oh, she's talking about Kairos again.
She goes again. Yeah.
But it's an important part of my life now.
So that's the inside team, as Kairos calls it. There's also an outside team.
Yes, there is.
Tell us what they do.
Okay, well, this year I was actually the leader for Canberra Monero Kairos Outside. And what we did was we actually had one of the biggest gatherings of guests this year. We actually had 21 ladies come. Now, they could be the wives, the daughters, the mothers, the grandmothers of an inmate. Now, these women don't just go to the jail every week to visit their loved one in jail. They are suffering. They really are suffering on the outside. And they look at themselves and they think, wow, I'm all alone. So what we do is we actually invite them away for a whole weekend. And from the Friday night till the Sunday night, we teach them that they're not alone and that there's other women out there who are actually feeling exactly the same way that they feel. Mm. And then we do lots of singing.
You're a good singer?
No. We teach them about God and how much he loves them.
And the outside team cooks as well.
Yeah, we have a men's outside team. Some of the teams, they do the cooking, but the one in Canberra, we actually are very fortunate. The men don't have to cook, but they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning or something to make sure that the guests have coffees, and they're still working at midnight, getting sure everything's ready.
Food is a very important thing for those meetings in jail, isn't it?
It is.
It's a real treat.
It is a treat. I mean, what my favourite thing was, it sounds silly, was just plain cheese, just block cheese. And I loved cheese and I couldn't get enough of it. Yeah. So that was one thing they spoiled me with, was cheese.
So Christmas is coming up, of course. I imagine that can be a terribly lonely and troubled time for people who are in prison. What sorts of things does Kairos do at Christmas time?
Well, they go into the jails and they do Christmas parties for the inmates. And on the outside, we're actually doing Christmas parties. We're doing one in Canberra. I believe there's some happening here in Sydney as well. And we have guests and we have fun and just make them feel special at Christmas time too. Yeah,
I'm sure it's absolutely transformative going from an existence in jail to just having a little taste of heaven in a way.
Well, in a way it is. I mean, I actually lost a lot of weight when I went to jail, which is understandable from the circumstances. But I always say when I start off a meeting, because I'm a nice cuddly lady now, and I tell them that this is all from Kairos.
Blame Kairos.
The food. You go away on a Kairos weekend and I swear you put on 20 kilos.
I know that well. So in the lead up to Christmas, what would you say at this time of the year to those in prison who are listening tonight, and they do, or others, I suppose, who are facing up to a particularly tough time in or out of jail? What would you say to them tonight?
Well, I think the guys in jail need to understand that the minister is there. Also, Kairos is there, right? Kairos does come into the jails. Try and get hooked up with us, you know, which is great. And let your family know about Kairos outside. We're actually on the website, so you can actually look up Kairos on the website.
Yes.
And you'll actually see my horrible face.
Ah, you'll see it on our Open House Community Facebook page as well. I'll dob you in. What would you say to them about the future? The question I asked you before about what kind of future did you think you had, what would you say to them tonight about the future?
I believe that you never give up hope, right? Look past the square that you're actually living in, right, and know that there's always a better place, right? It might take a long time to get there, right, but there's always people that are willing to help. The churches are willing to help. If you can't get hold of Kairos, go to church, meet your minister, you know. We're all willing to listen. We're all willing there to help, but never give up hope, right? It's so important.
And that through all of what you've gone through, God remains there.
He does. He does. Even when I yell at him, he comes back laughing, you know. I mean, I do. I'm like any other normal person. I'm the mother of seven children. I've been married three times. That's not normal. But, you know, I get angry and I abuse God, right? And I say to him, you know, why did you let this happen or why did you let that happen in my life, you know? But then I stop and I look, and for every reason that things have happened, there's always something on the outside that I can do and make it better.
What keeps you hanging in there then?
Just the faith that I know inside that one day everything's going to be perfect and there's a better life out there for my children and my friends and my husband, even after I've belted him. No, I don't hit him anymore, I don't.
I'm sure he's grateful for that. Sid Newham, it's a great privilege to meet you and hear about your life. It's truly inspiring. And a happy Christmas to you.
A happy Christmas to you. Thanks and so to much. All your listeners.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.